we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Church of Plano, Texas. Are you doing good today? It seems like good. It seems like there's something else on the schedule. I remember I wrote down on my calendar that the Cowboys were going to win the Super Bowl today. I haven't been keeping up with the football season, but I'm sure my Cowboys wouldn't let me down. I mean, never, right? Thank you, everyone, for worshiping with us today. Hello to everyone that's tuning in online. We're looking at YouTube. We're looking at Facebook Live or whatever else thing out there, podcasts, all those kind of things. Thank you so much. We greet you in Jesus' name. My name is Chris Blewett, and I am so blessed to serve Redemption Church as pastor and bring you the Word of God today. Are you ready for the Word of God today? All right. Could you tell what our brand new sermon series is entitled? It's called Relationship Status. Today we're starting this brand new sermon series. The Bible has a lot to say about our relationships, and we perhaps don't spend enough time receiving God's wisdom in this area. To be very honest with you, churches don't always spend a lot of time talking about relationships. And guess what? Relationships are suffering everywhere. Perhaps we should preach about it. The social media Facebook, have you ever heard of it? It started in 2004, and one of the early updates to the platform was the relationship status. Facebook started in college systems, and where it really took off like wildfire is when you could update your relationship status. See, a user could say that they were single, or even more salacious than that, they could say that they were in a relationship with, and then name and link the person that they were in a relationship with. So guess what? When this started happening, everybody's like, well, I need to be in a relationship. I need to be in a relationship now. It just says single. I'm such a loser. Unless it says I'm in a relationship with someone else. You could select married. You could select divorce. And surprising for its time, there was one called It's Complicated. The phrase Facebook official meant that you weren't really into a relationship until Facebook declared you were in a relationship. You follow that? Are you Facebook official? That became a thing. You're like, I've been seeing somebody. It's like, well, how serious is it? Is it Facebook official? I mean, we've been on a couple of dates, but what does his social media profile say? If his social media profile says that y'all are a thing, then y'all are a thing. Isn't that crazy? That's the world we're living in. If you don't think this is a big deal, it is still an absolute big deal. You are wrong if you don't think this is a big deal. If I were to change my relationship status from married to Sarah to anything, to it's complicated, to single, to divorce, to open relationship, that's an option on Facebook, not in real life. All right. I want to tell you, I actually thought about this week. Maybe I should do that just to show them how. And then I was like, no. It said it would be a disaster. Everybody like, Pastor Chris, what's going on? What's going on? And some of y'all would be like, it's about time. I knew Sarah could do so much better. I see y'all laughing way loud. Y'all are already thinking it. These altars will be open in a few minutes for each and every one of you. Next week, we're going to be talking about the married status. We will compare what that means for a Christian versus what that means in the world, okay? Married status, that's next week. And then the third week, we're going to dive right into the messy side of relationships. We're going to be talking about the it's complicated kind of stuff. Divorce is complicated. Being intimate without covenant is complicated. Blended homes, they're complicated. And we need to talk about this, so we're going to do that on the third week, all right? That's the whole overview of the series. Please don't miss it. Please don't check out on any of it like it's not important. It is absolutely, this is as important of any sermon series we will do this year. It will hit your home 90 degrees, 360 degrees, every direction. It's going to hit it. Today we're going to be talking about the single status. Are there any single people in the room? Let me hear you. Let me hear you, single people. Yeah, they are so proud. Did you hear that, Facebook Live? No, you did not hear that, Facebook Live. I'm going to ask you. Let me hear you, single people. Are you in the room?
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah, we're here. We're loud and we're proud, right? I am so thankful for single people. You're welcome. Was that Alex? I love you guys and you gals. I absolutely love you. Sarah and I celebrate our 10th year being married this year. And I want to remind you that I spent 28 years being single. Okay? I've only just spent coming up on the 10 years being married. So I feel like I know a little bit about what I'm talking about today with being single. I remember the feeling that there was something wrong with me because I was single. Have you ever felt that way? Anybody ever feel that way? Am I the only one that ever felt that way? Raise your hand real quick if you ever felt that way. I'm single. All my friends are dating somebody and I'm single. All my friends are getting married and I'm single. No, it's a real thing. It's a real thing. Just be honest with yourself and raise that hand. All right. There is this, what is wrong with me, I'm single thing. Like it's some kind of disease. Like you walk into the hospital room and the doctor says, oh, your charts just came back and I'm so sorry. So sorry, but you're single. Like that hard of news. Like, oh no, I am? Doctor, is there anything I can do? Well, I recommend eHarmony really, really quick and breath mints 2 times a day. All right. And I got to tell you that the Church of Jesus Christ is often the worst place for this kind of thing. There's something wrong with me, I'm single way of thinking. Okay? Here's a story from my past. I remember going for an interview for a ministry job. Okay? Early 2000s. And the pastor of the church looked across the table at me. I remember him saying this so clearly. He says, you are more than qualified. You are talented. We love your energy and your passion. You are everything that we are looking for. You felt that was coming, right? I was like, God, it's so good, but it's coming. He said, except. Here it is. He says, except you're not married. He said that to me, looking for a ministry job, wanting to give my heart into working in the kingdom of God right there at his church, finishing up college, and you're more than qualified, you're talented, we love your energy, your passion, you're everything we look for, except you're married. And he continued, you're not married. He says, it is such a risk to hire a single guy because they aren't as stable as a married man. That's what he said. And I mean, because you have to be crazy to get married, right? I think is what he meant. Kidding, joking. All right. I remember looking at him and as politely as my sarcasm could be, I said this, would it make me seem more stable if I flew to Vegas tonight and married the first girl I saw? And the pastor did not see the value, the humor, or the truth in my statement, but I was absolutely serious. What do you mean? What do you mean unstable? I'm not in a bad marriage. I'm not in a bad covenant. I am totally single with my whole life focused on Jesus. And you say I'm unstable. Oh my goodness. To this pastor, my single status meant that there was something wrong with me. What are you doing not being married? I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm working my guts out, paying my way through college, and living for Jesus Christ. Want me on your staff? I want to tell you today that your single status does not mean that there's anything wrong with you. You listen to that. Some of you, you just needed to hear that today. No one thinks that you're a weirdo. No one thinks that you got problems. Nobody thinks that there must be something wrong with you because of your single status around here. Not with me. You are not lacking because of your singleness. The culture in this world, and even with the church, might make you question your value because of your status. But I'm going to tell you today, do not listen to that garbage. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to quote some scriptures with you, and you can quote them with me and enjoy them, right? These are scriptures that we quote, all right? The ones that get us energized in faith. Scriptures like this: I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Clap your hands if you've ever quoted that one. Yeah. Did you know that verse is for married people only? No. That verse is for single people, married people. It's got no qualifications on it. How about this one? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Isaiah 54, 17. Clap your hands if you've ever quoted that one at the enemy. Right? Is that for any relationship status? Is that for singles? Absolutely, right? Now, I know this is simple. How about this one? We are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Romans 8, 37. Clap your hands if you know that one. Or misquote it sometimes. That's for any relationship setting. That has no exclusions on it. So don't live life because of your relationship status. Think that you're excluded from God's power, from God's purpose, from God's ministry, from God's blessing. Don't think that. And any thought that's coming to your head otherwise is garbage, and you need to take it out today. You need to take out the trash, all right? Single people are not losers. Single people don't have something wrong with them. Single people can absolutely be world changers for Jesus Christ. If you have been feeling like there is something wrong with you because of your relationship status, I want to tell you, you have wandered into the right sermon today. There is nothing wrong with you. In fact, here is what the Apostle Paul says about the single relationship status. It might change your mind a little bit. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 8. Now to the unmarried and the widow I say, to the single I say, it is good for them to stay unmarried as I do. He says it is what?
Good.
It is good. You aren't a freak for being single. Paul would say it is good. It is good to be single. I want to tell you that single people are valuable. You know what's so valuable about them? Singleness is good because singleness is valuable in God's kingdom. Singles, you have more to offer Redemption Church than married couples. And I mean that with everything in me. I want to explain it to you. But single people have more to offer Redemption Church than married people. Married couples and families with children have many more responsibilities than a single person. Absolutely crazy amounts of responsibility. Married couples have less time and they have less energy to devote to the kingdom of God. They have to find different ways in order to devote the kingdom of God. They have to turn their eyes inward on their family. We'll be talking about that next week. And then that is ministering within the kingdom when they're spending time with their children, when they're spending time in their home. But you, singles, you don't have that issue. As a single, you are accountable to God and then little else. Do you see the power in that? You're accountable to God and then whatever else you decide to do. And that is an unbelievably powerful, wonderful place to be. Who am I accountable to? Well, I'm accountable to God. And I'm accountable to my spouse. And I'm accountable to three children. And then I'm accountable to you guys as a church. And that list goes on, and it is exhausting. And I don't have all the energy to do everything because I am accounted out. My accountability is just running thin. I'm just so busy in all these different directions. As a married couple, we're accountable to God, our spouse, our kids, and then everything that that entails. And it can be exhausting. Married couples, somebody say amen if I'm saying the truth. Singles, we value you. We value you. Let me say this. We need you. Did you hear what I said? We need singles in this church. We need single people in this church. We want singles to be ministering inside this church. You will never see me look down my nose and list you a whole lot of good things about you and then say, except you're not married. You will never hear that from me. We want to set our singles free to use all of their time and all of their energy to advance God's kingdom. I want to see singles leading connect groups. You don't have to be married to lead a connect group. A connect group is one of our small group ministries. Absolutely. But I have a small apartment. Pack that small apartment out for Jesus. Go ahead and do it. Oh, but I'm not good at cooking. That's why God gave us Little Caesar's pizza. Amen. Amen. Did you feel that? That was good. Woo. All right. Stop making all those excuses. Use your singleness. Use your energy. Use your amount of time that you can commit to the kingdom of God. And then go and do those things. You know what? There's a weird thing about being married with children. You meet fewer people somehow. It's the weirdest thing. You would think you would meet more and more people, but you're so busy going, William Worth, you come back, like that you don't get to meet people, right? I was just about to introduce myself to someone, but now my child has caught a cat on fire, and now I have to go put that fire out, right? That's not a true story yet. Only by the grace of God. Thank you, Lord. All right. What I'm saying is, singles, we love you, we value you, and we absolutely need you. I want to see singles ministering at Villaggio. We had Villaggio ministry yesterday. It was absolutely amazing. You know what we had? We had some married people show up. It was great. But man, we could see some singles out there giving care, giving love, maybe trying to sing a song you've never heard before, like one of those old-time hymns. Go ahead and learn it. And go just hold somebody's hand. And worship God with them. Love God through them. Right? Do that. We want to see that. We want to see singles minister in our youth groups. We want to see that. Let me tell you, in your age demographic, you have a much higher probability of being someone that my son is going to listen to than me. Could you use that gift to further God's kingdom? Do you realize that you would be ministering to me if you ministered to my son? Singles, where are you? We need you. In the children's area, we would like to be using singles. I want you to passionately serve God with all the time and with all the energy you have to give. You see, you might be in a place in life that you're looking forward to all the way to here. Well, one day I'll have a house, and one day I'll have a nice car, and one day, you know, I'll have a family, and then that's when I'll serve the Lord. Stop that. Stop that. Do you realize that that harms the kingdom of God? That harms everything that God wants to do, because he wants to do that then, but he wants to start it now. What if you started now and then did it again later? Start now. Stop thinking, well, you know, and that's the thing, you know, and there's always a reason to put it off. Well, you know, I'm in school and I'm very busy. Well, you know, I'm working a job and it's very tiring. Well, you know, Iron Man movies are coming out and I need to go see them. Yeah, there's all these reasons not to do it. But you need to let all of that go. Embrace the time of life you're in and serve God now. That's for everyone in the room. I don't care if you're married, if you're single, if you're divorced, if it's complicated, whatever it is. Serve God now. Okay? Singles, we love you. Single people aren't unstable. They aren't unstable. That pastor thought that single people were unstable. He was wrong. I love being married. I love my family. And all the responsibilities that come with my family. But some of the most powerful time in my ministry was when I was single. A large part of who I am when I stand here today and minister to you was from time I spent in ministry as a single. You have less time to read the Bible when you are chasing your children. Absolutely. But when I was single, man, I just poured myself into the Word of God. I studied, and I started teaching other people, and I kept meeting new people that had questions about the Bible. I'm like, well, I need to know the Bible more because I need to minister to these people. And next thing you know, I'm a pastor. That's basically what happened right there. And thank God for my single years. The best decision I made as a single was I'm going to serve the Lord full out, hardcore for God in my single years. I told you about the time my uncle Jimmy gave me a 1992 Pontiac Grand Am. Remember that story? It smelled like it had been smoked in for 40 years. It was the worst smell in the world. I cleaned that thing out, and I remember he had me give him $10, and he gave me that, so it was like I bought it. But it's like he gave that to me, and I remember thanking God for it, and I remember I made a promise to God. I was like, God, I thank you for this car. I want to fill this car with people and bring them to church. I want to fill this car with friends from high school and take them to youth group. I want to pack this car out for you. And you know what? Some of the best friendships I ever had were formed inside that car, driving to church, talking about our issues, talking about our problems. Some of the best prayer meetings I ever had weren't at the church service. They were outside their house while I'm dropping them off. They opened up to me about a problem, and we ministered right there, and we prayed right there. My goodness, some of the best time of my life was my single years. And I don't mean that like how the world means it. The world means it. The best times of your life is when you're single and you're out partying and you're out. No, the best times of your life is when you take all of your energy and you take all of your passion and you focus them on the Lord. And single people, you've got more energy and more passion than most. Single people are so valuable. I love being married. But there are times in my life, even right now, I just go, if I only had more time and more energy to do more. I'm telling you, I'm moving into a different sphere of life. And what I need to do is I need to be leading some singles to go out and give their energy. I need to be equipping some singles with knowledge so that they can go out and save the lost. I need to be teaching some singles so that they can go around and teach the world and fulfill the Great Commission. Singles, are you here? Singles, do you hear me? Singles, are you full of energy and passion? Singles, is that hitting your heart? Your pastor is asking for your help today. Singles, won't you meet me in the altar in a few moments? Looking back, I realized that my singleness was not a curse, but a blessing, and I used my free time to bless God's kingdom. Are there any singles that want to bless God's kingdom today? Come on, singles. Don't be embarrassed. Raise your hand. I want to see you. I want to bless God's kingdom with my singleness. Don't wait till you change your relationship status. Start now. 1 Corinthians 7:17. This is what? Our memory verse for the month. Learn it. Each person should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned to them, just as God has called them. Each person should live in whatever status they have, whatever situation they find themselves. Whatever your relationship status is, you should live a life of faith unto God. If you are single, live as a believer. If you're married, live as a believer. However you're living today, it doesn't mean you have to be happy with the status quo of your life. It means you need to turn the focus of your life towards living for God. That's what you're supposed to do. Can I tell you very quickly, don't be in a hurry to change your relationship status. This is some serious preaching points from the Apostle Paul right here. Don't be in a hurry to change your status. We can be so focused on changing our status that we forget to live as a believer within our current status. Single people need to learn how to live for God before they are married. I think that ought to be said a second time. Single people need to learn how to live for God before they are married. Before you are accountable to a spouse and children, learn how to be accountable to God. Some people are so intent on leaving their current status that they forget to grow and mature within their current status. They're so intent to leave that they forget that there are lessons to learn right here and right now. There are lessons for you to learn right now in your current status of life. Most of the problems we have with marriages today are caused by singles who fast forwarded towards marriage without cultivating themselves in their singleness. They're a single person and they're like, oh, I can't wait to be married. I can't wait to go. I can't wait to have a boyfriend. I can't wait to be engaged. I can't wait to have children. And they just fast forward right there. And they are so intent on the status change that they forget to grow in the areas that they are standing in, to cultivate themselves, to learn, and to mature. Singleness. By the way, I want you to understand what I mean by single. And this is not completely understood in our society. I want to tell you, if you have a girlfriend or boyfriend, you are single. Now, I expect like the world to push back on that, because the world acts like, oh, I'm not single. I got a boyfriend. I got a girlfriend. No, sir. You're just dating. You are single. You get me? Y'all follow me on that? You're single. All right. If you're engaged to be married, oh, that's, I get that that's more serious. But guess what? You're still single. That's right. You're still single. You just have formed a plan to one day be married. There are people that say, I'm not single, I'm dating, so and so on. But this is a destructive way to think. If we're not careful in our society, we have raised, elevated the importance of dating to the importance of being married. And that is completely destructive. We have young children dating each other in junior high or elementary school, and they are going all the way into things they should not be going into.
Yes, that's true.
They are treating their boyfriend and girlfriend like a spouse. And let me tell you, that is absolutely dangerous. That is absolutely destructive. And that is everywhere in our society. It is everywhere in our society. Kids are losing their virginity at younger and younger ages. It is destructive. And guess what? I just got news for all our young people. You're single. I don't care if you're dating. You're single. You're by yourself. There are destructive things in our culture. It's fast forwarding past your single status without any accountability or knowledge gained. If you should date like you're single. Don't date like you're married. Number one, you'll fight way too much. That was the time for the rim shot. All right. You should date like you're single. You should understand that the only thing that changes your single status is a marriage covenant. Jumping into sexual intimacy without being married is still being single. Hold on, you stay with me. But you're acting like you are married in one part of your relationship. In the bedroom, you act like you're married, but in every aspect of your life, you'll act like you are single. Your money's still single. Your dreams and aspirations are still single. And if they don't go along with them, bye-bye. Right? Your accountability and commitment to growing is still single. Right? We could go on with this list. But we like to act like one area of our life is married, but the other areas of our life are single. It does not work that way. That is a perversion. That is a dirty thing. That is a wrong thing. That is a mistreatment of yourself and the other person and the plan that God has for you. Stop doing that. If you're single, be single. If you are single, don't be in a hurry. If you are single, serve God. If you are single, become a person worth marrying. How about that one? Become a person worth marrying. What would the world look like if instead of running off at a crazy dash to get married, we spent so much time and so much energy on becoming a person worth marrying? That would not make for an interesting Hollywood movie, but it would make for a beautiful life.
Yes, that's good.
Do you know this popular internet meme? It's been too long since we've talked about memes here at church. The Spirit always speaks to me about this meme right here. I won't explain what a meme is, but you know what this one is. Someone say it out loud. Good. Some of y'all read. It's called the Forever Alone meme. And he's got this giant gross face and he's crying. It's used a lot with single people, isn't it? It really is. I'm single. I'm forever alone. But this is not ever the case if you are a single serving God.
No, that's right.
You are never alone if you're serving God. And there are some times in singleness that you can be lonely, you can be depressed, you can be looking for and like, I don't want to say homesick, longing for the day when you have a relationship. I get that, totally get that. But let me tell you, you are never forever alone. In my singleness, I worked on my relationship with God and I worked on the person I was. And my relationship with God improved. The person I was improved. And then when I entered into marriage, all I brought with me was the relationship I had with God and the person I had become. I didn't bring any other stories of any other person I'd been with. I brought two things. The two things I worked on in my singleness, I worked on my relationship with God and the person I was. I didn't have to haul in a big trash bag of regret and doubt. I didn't have to pull in some terrible mistakes. Didn't mean I didn't have mistakes that I brought into my relationship. I absolutely did. Now, over the course of that first year of marriage, I realized that I'd brought some emotional insecurity with me in my marriage. Yeah, some immaturity was in me. I brought some bad habits with me. I brought some debt with me. We've been talking about that in Financial Peace University lately. I brought some debt with me, but you know what I never brought into my marriage? I never brought another person. Never brought another person. Singles, I encourage you, I challenge you, do not bring another person into your marriage before you're married. You understand me? All I brought into marriage was God and myself. And guess what? Sarah did the same. I did not bring a previous marriage into my marriage. I did not bring a sexual past into my marriage. In my singleness, I served God and I schooled myself and I saved myself for the one who would be my wife. I was never forever alone. I was always with God and I was always making decisions for the woman who would one day be my wife. Listen here, singles. You are making decisions right now for your future spouse. You're making those decisions now. Make them now. And it was so amazing to meet Sarah and to figure out that she had done the same thing. Can I just be totally open, Frank, with you? I don't see any young kids here, okay? The late 2000s, earlier that decade, some movie, The 40-Year-Old Virgin came out. And I was 28, and I just felt like this huge clock ticking. I'm like, that is going to be you. You are going to be Steve Carell in that awful movie. Awful, awful movie. I'm like, what's going to happen to me? These were insecurities, worries. And then here's the other thing is this. You're going to save yourself in your singleness for this future wife. But guess what? These are the 2000s, man. You're never going to find someone who saved themselves for you. That's what the voice I heard. Can I be honest, open with you? My goodness, the devil's a liar.
He's a liar. Yes, he is.
My goodness, makes me want to kick something over. But we shouldn't be violent for the Lord. No, I'm absolutely serious with you. I remembered meeting my wife and going, oh my gosh, there's no way she's way too good looking. There is no way that she, and I remember when we talked open and honest, it was one of the most awkward conversations ever, but it was one of the most exciting conversations ever, where she told me that she had saved herself for marriage. And I was like, could not believe it. Well, I don't mean that I didn't believe her. I mean that I couldn't believe God's faithfulness. And I couldn't believe how badly I thought the devil was telling me the truth. Let me tell you, save yourself for marriage. There is somebody saving themselves for you. There is somebody saving themselves for you. All right?
Yeah.
I want to tell you to embrace the status of your life today. 1 Corinthians 7:17. Look at it one more time. Each person should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned to them, just as God has called them. The world puts so much stock into the Facebook relationship status. But as we close today, I want to bring this back to Jesus. I want to bring this to this idea. Are you Facebook official with Jesus? I'm not telling you to like and say amen, and then some kitty gets blessed with heaven, or one of those weird internet posts. You know what I'm talking about, right? I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking, have you publicly declared your relationship with Jesus? That it's the real deal. That it's official. If you haven't, then I urge you to make the decision to go public today. You could go public today. You don't have to use your phone. You don't have to get on Facebook. That's not what I'm talking about. I want you to come find me near the front of this stage in a few moments when we're praying. And come talk with me. And today you could go public. You could become official with Jesus. That you believe in Him. That you're going to give your life for Him. That you want to trust Him. Singles, have you been serving God? Or have you been trying to fast forward to the next stage of life? Or have you been serving God right where you are today? Why don't you decide that I'm going to serve God right where I am today. Maybe you have something in this place that you need to repent of. Like while you're in church today, you felt convicted about something. You should repent of that today. That means that you should come, ask God to forgive you, and turn away from that thing and not do it anymore. Are you needing a miracle in your life? If you need a miracle today, you are in the right place. We serve a God who does miracles. Whatever the status of your life is right now, you can serve God. I want to encourage you to live for God. Now these altars are open. Why don't you come and make it a declaration as you come that I am going to live for God right in the situation I'm at, right where I'm at. If you want special prayer, come into the first 2 feet. Come on, let's talk to God today. I challenge you to make a move towards Jesus today. Father, I thank you for everyone in this room, everyone watching, listening online. Lord, you care about their life, God. They aren't, wherever the status of their life is, God, you can use them. They can be used by you, that they can live for you, that powerful things can happen in them, that they could be absolute world changers. Lord, I pray, God, Lord, that you would encourage somebody to use their energy and their passion for Jesus Christ. Lord, I encourage them, Lord, to stop feeling guilty over their past, but to surrender everything to you. Jesus, Lord, we want to have a relationship with you right now. Father, we ask, Lord, that you would touch every need. God, Lord, that you would draw people to you, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Come on, I want some people to pray with in this house.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.